Yep, she remembers it. But it's nice.
Hey, preacher knows.
Yeah, preacher knows, and so that's a good thing. Mom's preacher knows the name, you can sing it. She do a fine brother stamp, she'll talk to you a little while, she's in y'all to count money. Don't mess with a woman when they count money.
Did she find her wallet?
No, it's at the house.
Anyway, I would mess it up.
That's right, as long as she ain't counting mine, I ain't worried about it.
As long as she ain't counting mine.
Problem is, brother stamps, I ain't got nothing for to count. I'm broke.
Broke?
Yeah, I got paid this week, broke him.
Like broken jibs took me.
I don't know how broke jibs took you was, but he was as broke as I am. Pretty broke.
Pretty broke.
He played Christmas. He lay around with no money.
Oh, look at that.
Did he go to church?
Yeah, he sure did. She did, don't even think about it.
Not the news to get.
No, yes.
What's that?
Wait, when you say first things, be interested. Please.
I've got to say about the next thing.
Aww.
I don't have anything to leave in there, but I just start to set it up.
It's in my shirt.
Let's have all the choir come take your places, please. Let's have all the choir. All the choir.
Thank you.
Let's have all the choir take your places, please. Let's have all the choir.
Just about to empty out the congregation.
We'll get there.
So is that workable tonight?
We'll get there, Lord. We'll get there.
Let's turn to hymn number 231 in the red book. 231 in the red book. Jesus Saves. Now this is one that when you get to a couple of places, you're going to have to get a stepladder. Well, there's some high notes on some parts of this song, okay? So let's see how you can do. As we stand, we'll sing first, second, and fourth verses. Jesus Saves. 1, 2, 4.
Jesus saves. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
All right, thank you for that good singing this morning. You can't start a service any better than that, than talking about the saving power of Jesus' name. So thank the Lord for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts today. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be here. Bless those that are not able to be here. We thank a Sister Poovy that would love to be here. We thank Brother Buddy who would love to be here. We pray that you'll touch him and heal him and give him strength for their bodies. Lord, that they might be able to be back in the house of God. But thank you for everybody that is here today. Help us to meet today in the things of the Lord and in the name of the Lord and in the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Pray for the choir as they sing.
Brown book, hymn number one. Brown book. This world is not my home. Just pass the world. you find the church hymnal? Church hymnal? 133, the church hymnal? I'm going to sing I Feel Like Praising the Lord. It's going to be part of our fellowship song. So we'll sing the first and the second. We'll go down in the second. And then shake hands, and then everybody will join us out in the congregation on the Lord's
like this. You're going to have to listen to what I tell you so you can sing it. It says this: the Lord has been so good to me. How many people can say a big amen? The Lord's been good to you. Amen. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising the Lord until that blessed home I see. I feel like praising the Lord. So we need to praise the Lord from now to the time we go home to be with Jesus. Amen. All right, let's go. Ready? Singing today. One thing I like is you got to switch about three different hymn books to get everything sung, so I like that. We got Burgundy and Bread and Old Brown, but I like that. I really do. I thank the Lord for that today. All right, good to see you in the house of the Lord today. And on this, they say we're going to have above normal temperatures today, and I actually am not going to argue with that one bit. All right, I'm not ready for winter yet, so I want some fall. And so praise the Lord for his blessings to us. So now remember, I'll just throw this in. Let's see, I think it's going to be this Saturday coming up, isn't it? It's going to be the stew day. All right, so keep that in mind. And so what time, is any particular time everybody needs to get here on Saturday or what? Ladies?
So 10 Saturday morning, maybe? Everybody be here by 10? Okay.
All right. Did you notice that she conspicuously said ladies? Didn't say anything about the men helping do any cooking. That tells you something, doesn't it? All right. I don't guess we have any Emerald Lagasse's or Guy Fieri's around here, so I guess we're just going to have to rely on all the Paula Deans.
There you go.
All right. You pray for Miss Teresa. She sings for us. Continues. You can tell, obviously, those who don't know, Brother Buddy's sick and not able to be here today. So we had our day. I was out last week, and he's out this week. So I don't know. We better not make this a habit. Don't anybody take a tag team on this now and take it and try to stay out next week. We'll see if we can all get everybody back well. But appreciate the good number in church today. So you pray for Miss Teresa.
That's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. Happy.
think the older you get, you get to asking that question and thinking about it, how beautiful heaven must be. Because when you get a little closer to the other side, you kind of ought to need to start wondering about it. And so I appreciate that good song, good old song there. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 9. Now, normally I try to take a passage of Scripture and I try to do what we call an exposition of that particular passage in the services, but this morning I'm going to be going to several different places, so we won't be here long in Matthew 9, but we'll be going to some other places. And then I want to try to preach for a few minutes on the subject of lost souls. Lost souls. And our reaction to lost souls. So I want us to think about that for just a few moments. But in Matthew chapter 9, while you're turning there, tonight, Lord willing, in the 6 o'clock hour, Bethany's going to be showing a few, I always say the word slides, that's not right, but anyway, some pictures of her trip to the Dominican Republic. So we're going to be setting that up tonight. So Brother Julius said that was a go, said we could do that. So unfortunately, he's got to work tonight, right? So you're not even going to be here. I hate that. But I'm used to having Brother Julius here because his hours have been working real well with church hours, and now they're going to start that up again. But I know you got to have time. You got to work. I know that. So, but anyway, that'll be tonight, 6 o'clock, so keep that in mind this evening. All right, chapter 9, verse 35 at the end of the chapter. I preached on this not long ago. Brother Fry preached on it also. So I'm not going to be giving you anything new, just a reminder about some things along the lines of reaching people for Jesus. Lost souls, if you will. Verse 35, chapter 9, Matthew's Gospel. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want to share with you this morning, if I can, three thoughts about lost souls. Here's the first thought from Matthew chapter 9 I want us to think about, and that's this. How do we view lost souls? How do we view lost souls? What do we see when we see people? I've said this before. If you are a person that goes to a mall or any place that has people, observe and ask yourself a question. I wonder if these people, if any of these people that I'm looking at, I wonder if any of them are going to spend eternity somewhere. We know they are. Where are they going to spend eternity? Are they going to spend eternity in heaven? Are they going to spend eternity in hell? Okay. Are they saved or are they lost? There's only two places. We know that. Only two classifications. Saved or lost. Okay. Somebody said the saddest word in the Bible. If I were to ask you what the saddest word in the Bible was, I wonder what you would say. You would probably say many things, but I would submit to you that the saddest word in the Bible is the word lost. Lost. And there are people in the Bible that are talked about as being lost without Christ as their Savior. Now, three things that Jesus did in this passage. Remember the statement, how do we view lost souls? How did Jesus view lost souls? He is our guide. He is our example in all matters of faith and practice. So how did he view lost souls? Verse 35 says, and Jesus went. You cannot have a burden for lost souls if we sit on the pew and do nothing. We've got to see people where they are. We've got to talk to people. We've got to communicate. We've got to pass out tracts. We've got to see people as Jesus sees people. He went to where they were. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he went, he saw. It said that he saw the multitudes, and when it happened in verse 36, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then verse 7 says, and he said, then saith he. He went, he saw, he said. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. And what a statement. If you want a lesson, somebody says, I don't have a broken heart for souls. I don't have a compassion for souls. If you want compassion for souls, do what Jesus did. And Jesus went where they were, saw them for what they were, and then the burden was there. And he said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. Bethany shared a little bit this morning. I thought it was interesting. Because we talk about lost souls and we talk about reaching lost souls, but there are more ways to reach lost souls than we really realize. The day in which we live, the opportunities are greater than they've ever been in the history of the world. We have internet. We have all kinds of avenues on internet. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have emails. We have all sorts of things. We have radio. We have television. We have multitudes of ways through technology alone that we can reach people for the Lord Jesus. The problem is that we don't seem to be reaching them. As I said earlier, also in the Sunday School Hour, we know that the largest growing religion in America today is Islam. That's a tragedy. Shouldn't be that way. Question is why? Why is Islam so now taking over? And people are adopting a religion that is a loveless religion. There's nothing about Islam that teaches or preaches or practices love. If anything, it teaches and preaches and practices murder and hatred. And so it shouldn't be that way. And yet people are encompassing this particular religion. I don't understand that. Something's happened, and we're losing, and I don't know why. The Christian church is losing ground. And I don't know why. And it doesn't make sense. Why is it that the church of Jesus Christ is losing ground? Why is it that people have gotten to the place that they just don't seem to have a broken heart, a burden, to try to see people as Jesus saw them, as souls needing a shepherd, as sheep having no shepherd, as lost souls for whom Jesus died? And yet you can get up and preach and have missions conferences and soul winning conferences and revival meetings, and yet people still sit on the pew and they're unmoved. Now in this missions conference that Bethany was talking about at Piedmont, they'd looked at things in a different perspective. They had a theme in their conference, and it was called Loving the City. And she said what they did was that they broke up, I think it was what, Friday? They went Friday, and tell me if I'm wrong on this. They took Friday, and some of the students went out into Winston-Salem, and they went into areas that needed to be cleaned up. And they started cleaning up areas and said when people would come up to them and talk to them, as the Lord opened the opportunity, they began to share their faith in Christ. Now, somebody said, you can talk all day about how important your faith is, but if you don't put shoes to your feet, and if you don't walk it and talk it and live it and give it and know it and show it and preach it and teach it, our faith is vain. And I think that's what's happened. Because again, one of the points you said, I think, that the president of Piedmont brought up was, how is it that we give somebody a gospel tract that's hungry, but we still have the ability to give them food, but we don't give them food, but we give them a tract? How can somebody say they're thirsty and we give them a track about the water of life, but we can't give them a bottle of water? Because somewhere down the line, we've gotten turned off for some reason to social ministry, to what I call social ministry or social evangelism. We've done a little bit of that since we've been here. We haven't done a lot. We've helped out the House of Hope. We took a big pounding. Some of the folks went over there one Sunday. We did that. We reached out to the Malachi Boys Home, gave them a tremendous pounding, and we appreciate everybody that gave to that, and they took a lot of stuff with them, and thank God for that. That's a social ministry. There are many people that need social ministry. We need to do more of that. We've talked about doing some things to help out the fire department in Ringgold. I think that's a good thing. I know the church has done things like that in the past from correspondence that I've seen. I'd love to have a special Sunday in which we write a letter and ask all the people that's involved with the Ringgold Fire Department if they could come and be with us on a special service so we could give them a love offering and just say thank you to them. I think that'd be a good thing to do. Why not? That's part of social ministry. That's part of reaching people. Because here's the truth of the matter. People know our message. People know it. But you know what? They just want to see some old-fashioned Christianity. They want something to go with the mouth. They want somebody to have some feet, some shoes on their feet, and they want some walking and talking, and not just, they just want walking. They want walking and talking together. And so maybe that's where we need to be. Because isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus fed multitudes, didn't he? Jesus said, Jesus would take them in John chapter 6. I preached on that on homecoming. And you know how he said he provided the food, he provided the bread, he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. But guess what? Why did he do that? He did that because those people need to hear the gospel. They were hungry. And somebody that's hungry cannot hear with their ears when they're hearing with the growling in their stomach. How do we view lost souls? We just don't look at the spiritual man. The spiritual man is important, but we also need to realize that there are people who have physical needs. And I don't mean that, you know, I know how it is. I know exactly how it is. There are people that want handouts, and I'm not forgiving handouts because you bankrupt a church with handouts. There's always, I was reading a letter that was not written to us, but written to another church, and it was a very nicely written letter, but what it was, this lady was like, she gets $600 a month, she's on Social Security, she's an elderly lady, and her, I forgot what it was, I think her water heater gone out, she had to replace it, and now her, I think it was her refrigerator was going out, and she was asking this particular church to give her a refrigerator. I know that lady has needs, I know that, but you know what, if you think about it, the church should help when it can help, but that's not all of it. Because if you give somebody something, they should at least reciprocate a little bit. They should at least be willing to come to church. They should be at least one time come to church and hear the gospel, hear what we have to say, and then if we can help them, we can help them. But don't have this gimme, gimme, gimme type thing where, okay, I want a refrigerator, give it to me, I deserve it. No. There's a fine balance in there. All right? But if somebody has a used refrigerator and somebody else needs it, they say, well, I'll give it in the name of Jesus, then praise the Lord for that. But it's not like you have to go out. Church is not obligated to go out to Sears and buy a brand new Kenmore and give it to everybody that wants a refrigerator. Do you see where I'm going with this? But if somebody says, well, preacher, I got a used refrigerator and I'm not using it, is there somebody, well then, man, that's a help. And then if somebody turns their nose up to them, God have mercy on somebody turn their nose up to something like that. Because you find out how really needy people are. And if they really need something, they'll take what you do to help them and they'll be thankful. And they'll appreciate what you do. Okay? So, question is, how do I view lost souls? I view them because I go, verse 35, he went. Verse 36, he saw. Verse 37, then he said. And that's what will give you a burden when you view people as Jesus did. Now, let's go to the second thing. Turn over to the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter. Mark chapter 8. First thing I asked was this question. How do we view lost souls? Got a question. Question number 2. We're going to look at Mark chapter 8, beginning of verse 34. And then I'm going to ask you this question. How do we value lost souls? How do we value lost souls? Look at verse 34, Mark chapter 8. Again, Jesus is our example. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see verse 36? What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, let's take a minute. Let's take a minute and go over to 1 John chapter 2. Let's deal with the attitude of what do you do if you lose a soul? What makes up a soul? Okay? 1 John chapter 2, let's look. 1 John chapter 2. And the Bible's going to tell you what the world is or how it's qualified in the Scriptures. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 15. Love not the world. Now, we already read where Jesus said that, what shall profit a man if he gain the whole world? All right, well, what is the world? Bible says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father, it's not of the world. Now, the Bible's going to tell you right now what the world is. It does not mean that you're going to have a whole planet. I'm not talking about that. But here is, according to 1 John chapter 2, this is going to show us exactly what the Bible says about what the world constitutes. If a man could gain the world, what does that mean? Let's look. Okay. For all that is in the world, number one, the lust of the flesh. Let's say that everything your flesh lusted after, you could have it. Please understand that lust is more, I'll just be plain about it, it's more than sexual. Lust is anything you want. Somebody says, boy, I sure would love to have the prestige of a pro athlete. I want that. My flesh wants that. Or I sure wish I had all the golden, I don't even know how Fort Knox is, they're still in business, I don't know, but anyway, all the golden Fort Knox, I'd love to have that. That's flesh, lust of the flesh. I wish I could have the finest automobile customized and made by man in the world. Bible says if you could have everything that your flesh lusted after, you would constitute having one third of the world. All right, notice the second thing, and the lust of the eyes. You know where a lot of the sins that you and I deal with, how they originate? The eyes. When David got messed up with Bathsheba, you know why he got messed up with Bathsheba? Because he looked where he shouldn't have been looking. Okay? And you study the Bible, and it's the eye gate that creates a lot of problems. Why do people become adults to pornography? Because they look at it with their eyes. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful. Now, if you had everything that your eyes lusted after, you would have then two-thirds of the world. So if you had everything your flesh lusted after, you'd have one-third. Then if you had everything your eyes lust after, that'd be two-thirds. Now look at the last thing, and the pride of life. Pride of life. You know how dangerous pride is? Did you know if you study the Bible, every sin can be traced back to pride? Every sin can be traced back to pride. Why? What's pride? Pride is I didn't do anything wrong. I do everything right. How dare you say anything different? What right do you have? I'm as good as the next fellow. So what would you like to have, Mr. Pride Man? Well, I'd like to be the President of the United States. Well, if you could have it, more power to you. I think it's pretty dumb to want that. But anyway, if you got it, all right. I'd like to be the most influential man in the world. I'd like to be more influential than Donald Trump himself with all his billions and billions of dollars. Or whatever it may be that appeals to the pride of your life, if you could have that, if you could have everything your flesh lusted after, everything your eyes lusted after, and everything that appealed to your pride, the Bible said you would constitute three-thirds or one whole or the entire world. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 8, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know what? If a person dies without Jesus Christ, and they may be the richest man in the world, but he dies without Christ, he has died a pauper. He has died a poor man. Because the Bible says in verse 17 of 1 John 2, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know what? It's more important to be saved. Know that you're saved. Know that you're going to heaven. Have the peace of God in your life. That's more important than all the worldly riches that you can possess in your entire lifetime. I remember a few years ago, some of you, some of us all get together and talk about professional wrestling around here a little bit. Some of you remember a fellow by the name of Chris Benoit. Chris Benoit was one of the greatest professional wrestling athletes that ever came down the pike. Absolutely fantastic. Money. He was being groomed to be one of the next world champions. But I remember when I saw on the news, and they showed just outside of Atlanta, Georgia, where he lived, beautiful mansion. Security gate around his home. And they showed the beautiful home and went inside and shown where, because of drugs and steroids and things that altered his mind, he killed his wife and he killed his little son. And then he killed himself. He had everything going for him. He had the wealth. He had the prestige. He had the physical abilities. He was talented. He had more money, I guarantee you, than he knew what to do with. But he went just too far, and he pushed too many buttons, and he pushed the wrong envelope. And when it came down to it, and those steroids got in his system and messed up his brain, then he took his beautiful one, and he had a beautiful family. He had a little boy, some of you remember, maybe seen him on TV, as the cutest little thing. That little boy's just cute as a button. He got up in the wrestling ring when he won the big championship. They showed that on one of the highlights. And he just picked that little boy, threw him up in the air and caught him. And the little boy had a little bit of a learning disability. I don't know if he was autistic or what it was. But I did not know that until after they died. They were talking about that. And then he had taken the cables from one of his weight machines and had choked his wife and his baby with that. How do you do that? How do you do that? Okay. This man had everything the world could offer. Everything. But it wasn't enough. Therefore, how do I value a lost soul? When I look at somebody like a Chris Benoit, when I look at somebody that has the wealth and riches, when I look at somebody like a Donald Trump, when I look at these people and they've got everything money can buy and they're still not happy, then my question is, how do I value a lost soul? And then a third thing. Turn with me to Romans 14. Number one, I said, how do we view lost souls? Number two, how do we value lost souls? Romans chapter 14, let me ask you this question. How do we victimize lost souls? You say, well, preacher, I never heard that before in my life. Well, let me talk about it for a minute. How do we victimize lost souls? Look at Romans 14:12. It says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Notice the way it's phrased. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, here's where we are. The thing that bothers me about the generation that we're living in now is everybody's a victim. I want you to follow with me. Everybody, and you know what I mean by everybody. I don't technically mean everybody. I'm just using a proverbial word there, but a generalization. But I'm going to say that. Let me just say everybody's a victim, because you go up to somebody and you say, why did so-and-so, let's go back to our previous example, why did so-and-so go into drugs? Well, you know, it's because they felt pressure from this and they felt pressure from that. No. No. People do not go into drugs because of the people that's around them. Somebody says, well, why is so-and-so an alcoholic? Well, you know, they were in the wrong environment. They went to the bars and they went to this. No. You can walk out of a bar as easily as you walk into one. Don't go around and say, well, I'm a victim. I don't want to hit. You make the choices. Nobody forced that vein open and put that dope in your vein. Nobody did that. You did that yourself. You had to do that. You had to make the decision to do that. Well, I'm a victim. I don't want to hear it. Victimization's been going on since Genesis chapter 3. When Eve looked at the Lord and said, well, you know, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. How many remember Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. Remember that? That's victimization. Devil never put a hammer lock on anybody. Never put the devil never put a full Nelson around anybody's neck and force them to do anything. I do what I do because I choose to do it. And you're not going to make me do anything, and I'm not going to make you do anything. People do what they want to do because they want to do it. We're in a day of victimization, and everybody's a victim, and everybody says, well, it wouldn't be this way if it weren't for. No, I don't want to hear it. I've seen some folks that have come out of very difficult situations, and I've seen God turn them around. But you know what? Somebody's got to want it to happen. And that's where we are today. Everybody's just got to blame somebody. Everybody loves to play the blame game. The best thing anybody will ever do is when they come to a realization and they say, according to Romans 14, 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Everybody sitting in this pew, in this auditorium today, we're all going to answer to God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Every one of us are going to answer to God, and you're not going to stand before God and say, it's not my fault. Nobody's going to twist your arm. Nobody's going to make you do anything. You do what you do because you want to do it. So how do we victimize lost souls? Some people probably think, when I get to heaven and I stand before the Lord, the Lord's going to have mercy on me, let me in, even though I didn't get saved. No, sir, he don't work that way. That same God of love is also a God of justice. And he does what's right to do. Now, here's bottom line. Here's where the rubber meets the road. No matter, every one of us have situations in our lives that are not easy. Everybody in here. We're always going to have some trouble, conflict, problems. There's always something. It just comes in different forms. But let me give you a secret. And this one secret, what I'm going to tell you, is easy to say, but it's hard to do. Always make a practice to do what is right. No matter what anybody around you says, no matter what anybody around you does, no matter what anybody around you tries to persuade you otherwise, if you always do right, no matter what type of hate you got to take from everybody, and stay with that book, you'll always wind up right. Always. Just like old Billy Sunday said, somebody came and said, preacher, Sunday, you sure been rubbing the cat's fur the wrong way. He says, if you turn the cat's fur around right, it'll be going in the right way. If I come to the realization that I've got to answer to God for me, then I ain't got time to worry about you. I know it's an amazing thing how people love to gossip, talk, run their mouths. Honey, if I take care of me, I ain't got time to talk about you. Because I got me to take care of, and that's a full-time job. You just don't know what I'm going through. Hang on, let me close with something. Turn to Hebrews for a second. Hebrews chapter 4. Let me show you one thing. I hope it'll help you. Hebrews chapter 4. Next time you're going through something and you think nobody's been through what you've been through, let me show you something. Hebrews 4, look at verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But, notice this, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Now, key, all points. What are the all points? Some people believe the all points represent the physical, the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, the social, maybe. But if those points all equal 1 John 2:15, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If those are the points, then that makes sense, because if you turn over to the 4th chapter of Matthew and the 4th chapter of Luke, those three things are what the devil tempted him with right there in those two chapters. He was tempted the same way like everybody else was, yet without sin. Every time the devil came to him in Matthew chapter 4 and tried to tempt him, you know what? He just quoted the Bible. Every time he quoted a verse, took it from the book of Deuteronomy, and he said, all right, this is the way it is. Now, I told you a story. I'm going to go one more place. 1 Corinthians 10, turn there for a second, and then I promise we'll shut her down. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you know this, you can probably quote this verse. This verse will help you. 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You know what temptation is? Temptation is common. Everything you've ever been through, no, you're not the first one. You are not the first one. There's been multitudes that have been there before you ever got there. Because notice it says it's common. That means it's not something way out here that's elite. It's common. Every one of us. See? Now notice, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Now here's a hard one to hang on to, folks. Here's the hard one. What you're going through right now, God says you can deal with it. I don't like that. I don't like that one bit, because there's stuff I'm going through. I'm thinking, Lord, I can't go through this. But he says, I'm not going to let you experience it unless I know by the grace of God you can deal with it. Who will not suffer to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. What's that sign say right there? What's that sign say? Somebody tell me. Exit. You know what that means? It means that's a way to get out. For every temptation, there's an exit sign. And you know why I don't go through the exit sign? I don't want to. But the door's right there. The temptation is here. It makes sense. It would make sense. It would behoove me to have wisdom. If a man ain't lying walked through that door, I'd be going through that door. I'm not going to stand here while he is salivating all over the carpet and looking at this fat Baptist preacher and saying, dinner is served. I would not try to get on Leo's good side and pet him and say, bud, let's have us a good powwow. Then I'd draw back a nub. Nope, I'm heading for the exit sign. And most everybody's got exit signs everywhere, but they say, no, I'm having too much time. I'm having too good a time with my temptation. How do we view lost souls? How do we value lost souls? How do we victimize lost souls? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I just need to say, Lord, I'm going to put everything out of the way, and I'm going to say, Jesus, I love you and I need you. And I can't, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts and help us, and teach us. Help us to live for you. Help us to understand there are people around here for whom Jesus died, and help us to try to reach people. Help us to think outside the box in trying to reach people, because people's heart must be tender before we're able to go in and pluck fruit. So I pray that you'll teach us and guide us in that respect. Help us, Lord, to value lost souls. Help us to know that people are dying and going to hell, and help us to see that. And then help us, Lord, not to allow others to be victims, but to realize that we must all be held accountable, and that the same Jesus that died for my sins died for the sins of every person that's ever lived on the face of this earth, whether they be Mussolini's or Hitler's or Donald Trump's or Rockefeller's or whoever it may be. You died for lost people. So help us to see that. Give us a burden for lost people. Help us to reach and pray for lost people. And help us to be walking testimonies for Jesus' sake. I pray for somebody who does not know the Lord. I pray they'll come to know Christ and be saved. And I pray, God, you'll speak to our hearts in this hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do this. Let's just ask our sister to play for us, since we don't have a song leader. And I'm going to stand at the front. If you'll stand, and the sister's going to play for us. If you need to come, you come at this time. Stand. Let's all stand. Praise God. Eyes closed.
Help us today in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, we're going to receive the Lord's tithes and offerings this morning. And we're going to ask the young men to come at this time. Now, I'm going to ask them to pass this out because I was sick last Sunday, so I wasn't able to kind of deal with this. But there's question as to how to designate your giving. And these are just some examples. I ran one sheet off. It's not the whole thing. Just give all the adults. There's about only, I got about 15. Might not be enough for everybody. But anyway, go ahead. If you have prayed and you're giving faith promise and you're not sure how to designate your offering, I'm showing you this for an example. There's a couple of examples on here. Okay? I asked you to pray and see if there's a missionary you would enjoy or you would like to make sure that your support goes to, because I told you that eventually our support, I think Miss Teresa's going to need one too. We got one for her? Give her one and I'll get one for my family. Let's say that you're going to give $10 a week to missions and you want that to go to Faith Baptist Camp. I think I put that one on there. All right. Then that would mean that $10 a month, each month, would go to them. But you're going to give, let's say I'm going to give $10 a week. So that would be $40. So if you wanted to give it to another missionary, you'd put that down. And notice where I put, one case I put like 10 a week. We have one missionary there, it's for $20. I put, well, you say, I'm just going to give $20 a month one time. All right, maybe you want to give it to that missionary. And I put 20 per month. But the reason I'm asking you to, you can come up here and get the form, and then you put down what missionary. Now, if you just don't really care who it goes to, we'll take care of that. But we're going to give you opportunity to say, you know, I'd love for so-and-so to get this support on a monthly basis, because our missionaries are bi-monthly. So this is my suggestion. Once you turn that in, you just turn it in one time. I'll get with Miss Irma. We'll sit down. We'll figure it all out and see who's going to get the monthly support and who still gets the bi-monthly. See, I just feel like that's the fairest way to do it, because we can't help everybody yet. Eventually, I hope we will. But so maybe that'll help you to kind of understand what we're talking about. So if you want to fill that out, it'll be a one-time thing. And now we've got two sets of envelopes. Brother Will, come up here and hold one of each up. And I know you know this, but I'm going to show it to hold that one up. You can't see it too well, but the one in his right hand is your regular offering envelope. Then the one on the left is missions. Now, you can use both of them if you'd like, or if you're going to write one check, you could write down at the bottom on the offering, you could just say on the tithes, you just put down missions, $10 if you want to. What I want to do, and I can't find them, I used to be able to get them, but I can't find them, but envelope's about that big and it's got four compartments on it. This would make everything so easy. This is what I'm going to try to find if I can find them. It's got tithes, then it's got special offering, building fund, missions. And then you could write one check and fill out whatever you want. And I'm trying to find those. And if anybody knows where you can go on the computer and get those, let me know, because I have not been able to find them. Used to find them all the time. Used to find them through the Baptist Bible Fellowship in Springfield and the Independent Baptist Fellowship out in Texas. Can't find them, so I'm trying to get them. So if you'll keep those in mind. All right. Does anybody need any envelopes? Raise your hand. If not, they're up here. You can pick them up. Okay, you men come and let's receive the Lord's tithes and offerings today. So I just wanted to share that with you. I wanted to take care of that last week, but I was sick, not here, so deal with it today. Brother Julius, you lead us in prayer, please, sir.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time that we're able to give back to your word, Lord. I pray that you'll bless the offering, bless the giver, the one that may have nothing. We'll love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
today. Pray that the Lord will touch him and heal him. And did you say you're going to try to take him to the doctor tomorrow?
Try to take him this afternoon if you like.
Okay. All right, let's continue to pray for him. I hope you have a wonderful day. Enjoy this beautiful day. It is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will what?
Rejoice
and be glad in it. Amen. Let's all stand. And you give us some music, sister, and you have a great day.